Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, we get that a lot of Bears fans are unhappy, and we're unhappy too, and we're frustrated, and we understand that there's not really a whole lot that can be said today that is going to make people feel better about the situation. And it may even be that once the candidates are introduced, there will be people who say, oh, you picked the wrong guy, or you didn't get it right, or whatever. The only opportunity to produce results is on the field. And that won't be for some time to come.
Yeah. Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Yeah, Jimmy, he's right here. Hold on. He's pissed.
David Hall? You're muted, David.
There's learning lessons through all of it. Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. It's a Bears Monday, and we're just going to break down the Bears game in Minnesota because it was. Joining me as always is actor comedian Mike Pusateri, and Mike, was there any news today?
You know, it was a thing where we had like a couple of hours of like being excited about being Bears fans, and then that just all got smashed all to hell. We got about two or three hours of joy, and that was it.
So before we get into the George Buzzkill McCaskey's press conference, and we talk about the much-deserved firings of both the visor and the hairdo, you can subscribe to this podcast at Disipio.com. You can subscribe to the Pointless Exercise newsletter at PointlessExercise.com. You can follow the Instagram page at Instagram.com/PointlessExercise1. And Mike, how can people follow you?
You follow me on Insta at I am Mike Pusateri, and on the Twitters at Mike Pusateri.
So this morning, we got word that the Bears had fired Matt Nagy. We don't even know how to pronounce. The guy couldn't even decide what his name was.
Even his last name.
That was a problem.
Yeah.
But that was all we heard. Little Adam Schefter and his Twitter thumbs just told us that Matt Nagy had been fired. I don't know. You were out luxuriating on the West Coast. You were probably happily asleep when all this was going on. So there was a good 10 minutes of terror that, oh, God, they really did keep Ryan Pace. Hub was right. Oh, my God. Hub actually got a scoop right. And right. Then, thankfully, we got word that Ryan Pace, basically the 12th McCaskey son, or kid, I guess they're not all sons, was also relieved of his duties. And then we got what we thought was other good news, in that they announced George McCaskey was going to speak at 1 o'clock, and that was it. No Ted Phillips.
Yeah.
Just George.
No Ted.
And we're like, holy shit, they really did it. They fired Matt. They fired Ryan. They're kicking Ted to irrelevancy. They're acting like a real football team. And then
reality set in.
Yeah. But other weird things happened. Some expected. The first thing happened this morning was the Vikings fired both Mike Zimmer and former Bear scout Rick Spielman, their general manager.
Right.
Which made the Bears only leaking out the Nagy part even worse. It was like, oh, shit, even the Vikings know to throw both guys out. Well, it happened. Yeah. Do you know my favorite factoid about Rick Spielman?
Not yet.
It's not that he's Chris Spielman's brother, even though he is.
Yeah.
It's that in a Sports Illustrated profile of him, we learned that Rick Spielman puts his shoes on before his pants. And that's all I'm ever going to be able to think about Rick Spielman for the rest of my life, is that, he doesn't even know what order to put his clothes on.
That should be disqualifying right there, should it not?
It's like, what the fuck?
Okay, that's, yeah.
So, but then the Dolphins shocked everyone by firing their head coach, Brian Flores, who seems like a really good coach.
Won eight out of his last nine?
He won 10 games last year and 9 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, of course, Stephen Ross is the owner of the Dolphins. He's a huge Michigan booster. And people are like, well, he must be bringing in Harbaugh.
Right.
Why else would you do this? He took the step. The McCaskies would never have done this. He took the step of releasing a statement that they're not hiring Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, he even stood up at a press conference and said, I'm not going to be the guy to take Jim Harbaugh out of Michigan because I love Michigan and Jim's a great coach.
And apparently he's actively trying to help get Jim a raise at Michigan to keep him there, which, mm-hmm, honestly, is fine by me.
Totally fine by
me. Keep that sweatshirt tucking into your pants more. There's an issue. If you don't know how to get dressed,
yeah,
there's a theme already. You wear a visor outside in cold weather.
Yeah.
You tuck your sweatshirt into your pants, or you put your shoes on before your pants, you're out.
These are all red flags, people.
They should be.
Yeah.
So then 1 o'clock came, and sure enough, actually, this was rare for the Bears. The press conference started on time.
Like, yes, to the minute, right on time.
And then all hell broke loose.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being on the call. I'm sorry that we can't meet in person.
Me too, George.
Ted Phillips is also on the call.
Oh! That was it.
See how upset everyone got, including the dogs.
Even the dog pound is barking.
Well, maybe he's on the call to announce that he's retiring, or he's been
fired. Well, and then the other weird, in just an endless series of weird things, Ted, you didn't see Ted for like a half an hour.
I didn't see Ted because I could only watch the first half hour.
Yeah,
in my life, Ted wasn't there. But
yeah,
unfortunately, Ted really was.
Yeah.
Was there. So anyway, George has assembled us. And he's very sorry that we can't all be there in person. And now he's going to get down to the most important news that there is.
And he is available to answer any questions you may have of him.
Yeah, I've got questions. Believe me. Mm-hmm.
This is my first opportunity to speak to you since the passing of your colleague and friend, Jeff Dickerson. I want to join the many people offering their condolences to his family and friends. JD earned the respect and admiration of both his competitors on the beat and those he covered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've read touching tributes to him from many of you. We offer our prayers and support to his family, especially his son, Parker.
Okay.
Parker Dickerson is about the same age as Matt Nagy's son.
That's nice. That seems to have nothing to do with any
of this. NFL head coach understands and accepts that he'll be subjected to a fair amount of criticism,
mm-hmm,
and that, unfortunately,
some of it
will be personal.
Okay.
Coach's children do not strike the same bargain.
Yeah, I think they do.
What Matt's oldest son was made to endure at a high school playoff football game
is
shameful and inexcusable. All he wanted to do was play a game he loves with his friends.
This is the opening to the Bears press conference?
Yep.
Should be off limits.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan's and Matt's kids probably aren't very happy with the Bears right now.
Yeah.
But they were.
I'm not either. Are you going to apologize to me too?
Part of the Bears family.
Yeah. Okay. Did George McCaskey just compare like 24 Cary Grove kids booing? First of all, he basically two dozen Cary Grove kids chanting "Fire Nagy" at a game that Nagy was at. That Nagy didn't even it lasted all of like 30 seconds, which were all captured on video.
Yeah.
Which Nagy seemed to not even know what happened.
Right.
So the mental anguish that his son suffered from that, he's equating that to a kid losing both of his parents before his, what, 8th birthday, 11th birthday, whatever it is.
The thing George, made just, no sense.
Yeah, just, yeah, you're making an ass of yourself. Just, it was nice. The Jeff Dickerson thing was very nice. Mm-hmm. Now, someone should have then crossed the next batch of bullshit right off your script and moved on to the actual news.
Right. Well, that gets to the other point. Who is writing this for him, or is he writing this himself?
Well, we could tell the Bear PR staff is really top-notch.
Yeah.
These are the ones that didn't have the brains enough to refute the report that Nagy was getting fired for Thanksgiving and allowed that to just mushroom out of control.
Right. Well, here's my question, and this is the skipping to the end of it. At the end of that, you know, the first thing that you're going to ask if you're George is, hey, how'd that go? Now, there's probably just a big back-slapping contest, right? Is everybody, oh, harumph, George, yeah, that harumph, was terrific. Great drive, girl. Is there anybody there who would say, you know, George, we love you, but I don't think that you'll get the reaction you're going to get from the press and the fan base is going to be very positive here, and I think you need to be prepared for that. Do they say that? Does anybody in that building have can anybody there speak truth to power? Or are these guys sitting there being, I'm sure they're not, don't know how to go online because George hasn't heard of certain websites or whatever. But is anybody sitting there feeding them, you know, you guys are just getting destroyed. Everybody is furious with this press conference. You guys have just, all the goodwill that you had by firing Pace and Nagy, which was the right thing to do, you just magically squandered. Is anybody telling them that, or are they just shocked by this? Are they still
great.
Shocked?
Oh, it went great.
Yeah.
That might have been the best press conference in the history of press conferences, George.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So what was the motivation behind the thing about Nagy's kiss? Apparently, he's been pissed off about it since it happened. What was preventing him from issuing a statement back then?
Nothing.
Yeah. He had to wait. I'll just save that for the end. I'll wait till we fire the guy, and then I'll show my support for him and his family.
It made no sense. Is that the lesson that was that? Is that his way of being like, hey, I'm a really good guy, even though I'm firing your dad? I don't know. I don't understand.
Sorry, I canned dad. What you're actually apologizing for is, I'm sorry I'm going to be paying your father for years to not work. That's a boo-hoo. I think the kids will be fine. You know, somebody bought him Matt's going to buy him a PlayStation 5, and they won't give a shit that he's not coaching the Bears anymore.
It was just a very odd way to open your press conference, too. You've just fired your general manager and your head coach after yet another disappointing season. You know, this fan base is a diehard fan base. If you buy tickets, it costs a lot of money. There's a lot of emotional investment with this team, and we're talking about a couple of dozen high school kids booing at a football game? That's what you're starting with?
In a way, George is apologizing for doing the Nagy and Pace kids a favor. They don't have to watch the Bears anymore.
Right.
He's freeing them up from something that we're not. We're still stuck with these assholes.
We're stuck. We have to watch them. Free us, George. Yep.
Fire me. Fire me and pay me, George. That's all I want.
Okay, so
I
got to
take a moment to thank the larger Bears family. This is a demanding business, and it requires extraordinary sacrifices from players,
All right.
coaches,
we're moving ahead here,
down
George.
To earth, and free of ego, always putting team before themselves.
Yeah, that's bullshit. We know nobody had more ego than Ryan. I get a haircut every 3 days, Pace, and
12
preeny
wins
little Matt
and
Nagy.
A division title.
And I'm going to pass
Ryan
on 4th and 1 Nagy,
because
it's my way to do things.
We thought we were on our way.
You were wrong.
Unfortunately, it could not be sustained.
Instead, we you were on your way. Right back to third place.
We continued to struggle at home.
Yeah, we know.
Did not close the gap within our division.
The Packers kept kicking our ass.
We didn't win enough games.
No kidding.
Our guys never quit. And that's a tribute to our players. Type of player Ryan looked for in the draft
stop right
and free
there.
Agency.
Sure, with your players, Ryan, Nagy and his staff Pace don't get credit for guys showing effort.
It's a little unfair to highlight individual players in a team sport. But I want to commend David Montgomery and Roquan Smith. Gave everything
Darnell Mooney sitting there going, motherfucker!
That's why they're fan favorites. At the end of the 2020 season, we had a decision to make.
Yeah, and we fucked it up.
But we made the wrong one.
Mets record was well above 500, and we have been to the playoffs 2 out of 3 seasons, but with 0 playoff wins.
Yeah. So this is just him justifying why we kept him around. Yes. That's what he's trying to say.
Would you like to know why it was okay that we fucked it up last year? Right. Here's why. Because even though it was obvious to all of you fans that the team was bad, that our offense sucked, that our head coach was in over his head, that our general manager had mostly blown a lot of money in draft picks, mm-hmm. we valued their collaboration enough that we decided we would just bring them back so we could waste another year of your lives. We made the playoffs twice, even though the second time was a bullshit charity COVID extra spot that no longer exists.
Right.
And we got it with a 500 record. Yay. Good for us.
Yeah.
We felt that Ryan and Matt had earned the opportunity to improve upon the results of 2019 and 2020.
How'd that work out for you?
That continuity was the best route to positive results.
And collaboration. We didn't hear that word today.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Over 4 seasons, we beat the teams we were expected to beat.
We did?
Too often, though, we didn't beat the better teams. And you have to do that to excel in this league.
Is that really? Is that how it works?
Have we learned anything new so far?
A general manager and a head coach begins today.
Okay.
We'll be thorough, diligent, and exhaustive. Will result in the best possible selections to lead the Bears to success.
It probably won't, but that's fine.
General manager will be responsible for the entire football operation.
Okay. You don't have one.
Or head coach, we will not be limited by philosophy, scheme, whether a candidate's background is on the offensive side of the ball.
We might even hire a Baptist. Well, I don't know. Mom's not 100% sure, but she's leaning to approving that.
Defensive or special teams, whether a candidate has previous head coaching experience, whether a candidate's
or is just some guy off the street,
game the pro game, or financial considerations.
Okay.
No matter what, if we think the guy's gonna be the best coach and he asks for $1 billion, God damn it, we're gonna give him $1 billion. Well, that's how committed we are.
Well, winning. Does he expect he's gonna get questions like, "Are you gonna hire this offensive coordinator, or is it gonna be a defense?" Whoever crafted this is like, no, here, let's make sure we get this cleared up so you don't have to fend off all these coordinator questions, George.
We will leave no stone unturned, even the one that we found Abe Gibran under all those years ago.
Our search team will consist of myself.
Oh, here we go.
Ted Phillips.
No, wait a minute. No. So immediately, the two guys that we know are on the search committee, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Hey!
The two guys that have screwed it up last time, we're bringing it back. We're the two guys that have been screwing it up the whole time.
Guys, even a broken clock is right twice a day. If you give us enough cracks at this, we're going to hire somebody good. So, yeah, so it's 5 minutes into the press conference, and now everyone at home is like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That was fun while it lasted. Now back to mediocrity or worse.
And before we go on, I'll give them credit. They got one thing right, but then in true Bears fashion, they got the other thing wrong. They got it right in that they're not, the GM is not going to be reporting to Ted anymore. He's going to report to George.
Yeah.
That's the good thing. The bad thing is he's still a GM, this new person.
Yeah.
They're not giving him a president of football operations title. And you could say, well, who cares? What's the difference? Well, Ted has the word president. President is in his title. Mm-hmm. And titles matter in organizations.
And on the back of his suit coats, it says PREZ in big block letters.
It says Prez.
Prez.
So that, whether he's reporting to him directly or not, it makes a difference. You've got a chairman, a president, and then you, a GM. You're clearly underneath these two guys, even though you're just reporting to George. But you're not, so a couple, that's going to limit who you can hire.
Yeah.
Because someone who is a GM now, if they're going to want to take that job, they're probably going to want a title bump. And then the other thing, if we get to it, they sort of implied that is Ted going to be negotiating the player contracts?
I didn't hear that because I didn't get to that part. I'm afraid to hear that.
One of the justifications that George gave for having Ted involved is, well, he's going to negotiate the contracts with the GM and the head coach. Well, okay. First of all, why isn't the GM negotiating the contract with the head coach?
Yeah. Right. Somebody has to decide how much to pay the GM. And if that's Ted, that's fine.
Fine.
But yes, once that's happened, then Ted needs to just get the fuck out of the way. We're giving George too much credit, but unless the idea is, because they didn't say what order they're going to hire. They basically said, if we find a really good coach, we're going to hire him. Mm-hmm. If we find a really good general manager, we'll hire him, and then he can help us with the coach. So maybe the whole idea is he didn't want to get hemmed into, if you hire the coach first, somebody has to negotiate the contract with the coach.
Right.
And that's going to be Theodore.
But if their plan, and this would not surprise me, is to have Ted still do the player contracts, then you don't have a true GM.
No,
because you
if it's player contracts, then that's
a problem.
But I don't think he did them. Well, who knows how he did them? Supposedly the way it works was Ryan did those, and Ted was responsible for making sure that they had like the money was there. Ted went through the drawer and went, oh yeah, okay. There's all this money, $10 million for Andy Dalton. I got it right here.
Yeah, right.
No problem.
I can't believe he wasn't involved.
Oh, I'm sure he was. He had his little.
Yeah.
So you brought up how frustrating it is that they're still calling him a GM. There's a practical reason why that's a problem. The practical reason is something you just said. If you identify a currently employed general manager with another team, you can't hire him away unless you offer him a promotion.
Right.
So that, why wouldn't you just call it the presidency now? And then you don't have to worry about, you don't have to jump through any hoops later.
Right.
It's just, and you're right. If Ted is no longer president of everything, then he's president of half. So there ought to be a president of the other half.
That's the only way that can work. Otherwise, it's not, the structure is set up to fail.
I mean, it would be like the Cubs when they hired Theo. Say, well, Crane is going to be president of baseball operations. Theo, you're going to be junior assistant,
yeah,
general manager of, but you're going to report to Tom.
Yeah, and Theo's going to go, no, yeah, I'm not doing that. And that's what you're going to run into here. Why not just give him the title? So another reason I guess they wouldn't give him a title is, are they trying to save money? Are they not going to pay?
I wonder.
Because this makes no sense not to, if you're going to have the GM report to the owner, you got to give him a president title. You got another president sitting over there.
Yeah.
If he was a general manager of business operations, okay, fine. Yes,
right. They need to be, the titles need to be equal.
Yes.
And those, they're clearly not. Okay. Right. So right now, George has told us the search committee so far has two morons on it. Moron number one, George. Moron number two, Ted. But there's going to be more.
Hall of Famer Bill Polian.
So I like the idea that they went out and they found somebody from the outside, someone who's actually won before, is going to advise them. I would have liked if the guy wasn't 80 years old and hadn't not hired a coach in the last 20 years. Could we have found somebody?
It's just Ernie Accorsi by a different name. Now, Polian is more accomplished. Okay, fine. But it's the same. It's the exact same thing they went through 7 years ago.
Yeah.
We're going to have Ernie Accorsi helps us.
Well, and when we start talking about potential candidates, Bill's going to be a problem. More than he's going to be a help, he's going to be a problem. Because he's got some baked-in biases that are going to eliminate some of the better coaches from him even allowing the Bears to consider them. But
right.
Okay, so now we got George and Ted and Bill. I'm sure Bill and Ted's excellent adventure. Coaching surge adventure.
Yeah.
Vice president of player engagement, Soup Campbell.
Wait, okay, what?
Considerations.
Oh, I went back too far.
Research team will consist of myself.
Okay.
Ted Phillips.
Yep.
Oh.
Hall of Famer Bill Polian.
All right.
Okay.
Our vice president of player engagement, Soup Campbell.
Oh, boy. Soup. The man's name is Soup.
Soup Campbell.
Now, I'm sure you remember. You remember former Cub, he was probably more prominently a Philly, right? Relief pitcher, Bill Soup Campbell. Do you remember him?
No, I do not.
Very homely-looking redhead pitch for the Cubs in the 80s.
Yeah, right. Well, I should say I did not until I saw your Twitter feed. Yes. Yeah, right.
I assume every baseball player named Campbell has been stuck with the nickname Soup. I didn't know that it also extended to working in a player engagement role in the front office. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
It sounds to me like he's the guy who helps the players keep the mistresses away from the wives. That sounds like Soup's job.
I've never heard of him before. I don't know who this is, but okay.
Well, he's now, so far he's 25% of the search team.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what Soup Campbell is.
And our Senior Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Tanisha Wade.
Okay, that's fine. That's probably a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we need Soup. And I don't know why we need Ted. How about George? Actually, we don't need George. How about Tanisha just picks the coach?
That'd be okay.
I don't think you'll do any... I'm sure she'll do fine. All right, so we got five people on the search committee, four of whom, as far as we know, completely unqualified, and then Bill Polian. So yes, this is Ernie Accorsi and his hairpiece all over again.
It's basically the same setup, yeah.
I expect that we will reach a consensus on both positions. Ultimately, though, the decision on the next general manager and head coach will be mine.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, but how is that different than last time?
He's done an outstanding job as president and CEO of the Bears and will continue in that role. Our family has complete faith in him.
Well, you're the only one.
He has persuaded me that with the pending acquisition of the Arlington Park property,
he's persuaded him.
Evaluation is a possible future talk him into it.
George, could you please take away half my job?
Please, pretty please, George.
There's too much to do at Arlington Heights. Organizational structure.
General manager will continue to.
We haven't even bought it yet officially, but it's too much to do.
Including the head coach, the GM will report to ownership. Bill Polian is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Now we got to hear the credentials for Bill Polian.
Pro Football executive.
Well, this gets good.
Including his hiring of two head coaches, Marv Levy and Tony Dungy.
Okay, one of them in the 80s.
Who are themselves in the Hall of Fame. He is well.
Why'd you hire Marv?
Circles.
He's still alive.
A lot of contacts. Mm-hmm. We consider ourselves very fortunate to have Bill assisting us in our search. Soup Campbell is on board to offer his perspective on the candidates, including and especially how will our players respond to this candidate as our leader. Tanisha Wade was recently named to the newly created position, Senior Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
She's not general manager.
She is involved in all of our hiring. These are the most significant hires we make.
Diversity is
a critical part of the process. We are committed to providing a fair opportunity throughout the process to people of color.
Matt and
Frustrated
Ryan.
Bears may be thinking, what makes him think he's going to get it right this time?
Yes, that's exactly what we're thinking.
Now with the experience we've gained with the makeup of our search team, we will find a general manager and a head coach who will lead our Bears to the success that all Bears fans deserve.
Okay, so basically George's explanation when he's asked the question, why are you going to get it right this time, is nobody can fuck this up forever. Maybe it's our turn.
Yeah. We messed it up 7 years ago, but we've learned so much in those 7 years. We won't mess it up again.
So George has been president. I always forget this or chairman, because Michael got demoted. He was no longer chairman of the board after the fiasco, but he was still the president of the team. Right. No, that's not right. He was still chairman. He was not president. Ted became president because of the screw up with Dave McGinnis and Dick Geron. So George didn't take over as chairman until 2011. So, and this is 11th year as chairman. He is now on his fourth general manager and his fifth coach. Because he started with Jerry Angelo and Lovey. Then he had...
How many Super Bowls does he have?
Let me see.
Can you count them all up?
carry the 6-0.
By the way, how many Super Bowls does the McCaskey family have? Because if you're going to tell me 85, I'm going to tell you that was George Halas who hired Jim Finks and who hired Mike Ditka and you know, those are the guys who had Buddy Ryan on staff and already drafted all those players. That was a George Halas operation.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had to be fair. You have to. The McCaskey era started with Wani, mm-hmm. and think about all the success the Bears have had since Wani.
Oh, it's just
they had a brief flirtation with competence under Lovey.
Yep,
and that's okay. It.
That's the closest we got.
Wani was a disaster.
Yeah.
Dick Turan was a nice man, but not a good coach.
Yeah.
Then he had Lovey, and then it's been a shit show ever since Lovey.
Yeah.
And Lovey, as much as, you know, he did a very good job, had some stark limitations, mostly that he treated offense as though it was completely unessential.
that does fit in with the Bears tradition. Yeah,
just punted half the team every year. Yeah. Other than that, it was fine. Oh.
Thank you. And I'll be happy to take your questions.
All right. I have some questions.
Adam?
He doesn't look happy.
Okay. First question, Hub.
Of course. Of course it's Hub.
Oh, Hub.
Hub, who are you voting for MVP? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. You're asking the question. Sorry.
Right.
And I love Hub's question. I did hear this. Is just, it's so Hub.
Well, George, first of all, I know this is a really difficult time for you and the family.
Nobody cares what you think.
You're fond of that you had.
Why
to
is it difficult
going,
for him?
So I hope you and everybody is doing okay and getting ready to move on to the next challenge.
Are you okay? You had to fire. Are you okay?
You're a billionaire.
Four or five questions in your opening statement. So I'll move to the next one.
Yeah, there's so much news in there, Hub. I can see how he answered five of your questions.
The timing of everything and the opportunity to be out front in your search.
Bizarre.
What were Hub's five questions? George, do you have anybody named Soup on the search committee? Oh, okay, you do. Hub, what do you, or, George, what do you think about those fucking punks in Cary Grove? What do you think about that?
Had that. George just look. He just looks like an angry Don Amici. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. Had you at any time notified Matt or Ryan as to what was going to happen? Have you already begun talking to any candidates?
No, they've been fired, right?
How great would it be if George's like, I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. I assume they just found out they've been fired.
Ryan and Matt come running in. What?
Actually, Hub, they found out this morning when they walked in and Mom was packing up their offices for them.
George, have you shared this news with the two guys you fired, or are they just learning about this with the rest of us?
Now, Matt, is this our stapler, or did you bring it? I don't really know, Virginia. It's ours, then. Okay, good.
Okay, terrific.
And if not, how critical is it to get the general manager hired first before you can get into the coaching search?
Matt and Ryan were informed of our decision this morning. We'll start contacting candidates today. Ideally, the general manager would be selected first, but if we see a head coach candidate that we think is the right one, we're going to do what it takes to get him in-house.
Now, I actually have to say, I agree with that approach.
Yeah, everything I do too.
Everything you said. Yes, ideally, get the GM first, but if there's a coach that you want and you got to get him in first, do that, and that coach can bring a GM with him.
Follow up real quickly, though, in terms of a general manager with unfettered control of the football operation, wouldn't that restrict you a little bit if you had already chosen a coach before he came on board?
No, because we'll just fire the coach.
I think with Bill's guidance,
and he can hire a different.
Be able to find
it'll be fine.
A partnership of general manager and a head coach that will work. Like I said,
would you say they need to collaborate
to hire the general manager?
That word was scrubbed. So why? Let me ask you. Why does George forget what you think about Bill Polian? If he's great, if he's not, why? Does he need training wheels for this? Right. Again, why does he need an Ernie Accorsi? Why does he need a Polian? Why? His entire life. His grandfather invented the NFL. He's been the chairman of the board for a decade. Yep. How can he not know? How can there not be anybody in the building with a short list that is updated constantly of the best general manager candidates, best head coaching candidates. Why isn't that already there?
Well, it all gets back to the fact that they didn't. They should have done this years ago, and nothing precludes them from doing it right now. Mm-hmm. They need to hire somebody to be over football that's not them, because they don't understand it. And honestly, George, I don't care that you don't understand football. You don't need to. What you need to understand is that you don't understand it, and you're just going to let somebody who does understand it do their job.
Well, but he does need to understand. I mean, I don't know if you said you didn't hear the whole thing, but at some point later on, George says, "Hey, I'm just a fan. I'm just a football fan. I'm not a football evaluator." Well, that's your job. You are the chairman of the Chicago Bears. It is your job to evaluate football decisions.
Well, yeah, but so I guess my point was, it was fine. It was fine to hire Ryan Pace to be the general manager, but when you hire a first-time general manager, you needed to have someone above them who could make them, who could question what they wanted to do, to make them defend it, so they could decide if that really was a smart idea. Someone to hold them accountable. When George couldn't, because he doesn't understand football well enough, he's got to find somebody to do it. And the fact that the McCaskies ever thought they understood football, like, they literally should have hired a president of football operations the minute grandpa died.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't do it, and they haven't done it forever, and they just wander through the wilderness expecting that someday they're going to wake up and magically understand football.
Right. Or they thought,
I don't care that they don't understand football. I don't care if somebody who owns another business, what you have to do is you have to understand what you don't understand and hire somebody who does. And they've Absolutely. Never been able to get that right.
Well, and they seem to think that guy was Ted. Well, we don't understand.
Yeah,
Ted
was great. They picked the fucking.
That's what Ted persuaded
the accountant.
Him.
They put him in charge.
That's what he persuaded him that he could do, is that he could help, with football decisions. He could help Ryan Pace.
Ooh. All right, who's up next?
Next question, Dan Weider.
George, I'm curious what your resistance is to the attempt to try a new model where someone with a more sophisticated football background would oversee the
general manager
position.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan, for that question.
Uh-oh.
In our structure, it's the general manager
Doesn't
who has
work.
Ultimate right. football authority.
Our,
and
our proven structure is so good. We can't possibly change
different
it.
Structures,
yeah.
Different work for different teams and different sports.
Yeah, yours doesn't work. We've established that. You're structured
best for us.
But you've tried it.
When you evaluate the performance of a general manager, and obviously that relates to obviously the evaluation of Ryan and then obviously going into your search going forward for a new general manager, what for you are the specifics you look at, whether it's metrics, analytics, whatever it may be, to determine whether a general manager is successful in that role?
I'd like you to ask me a different question.
One loss record is important. Number of difference makers you have on your team.
Okay, what's it?
Quality
what
players
constitutes
you
a difference maker
on your team,
George? You don't know
the core of the team and how the team is put together are all factors that are considered.
So, speaking of one loss record, how would you evaluate the performance of your president?
Oh no! Ted, we're just worried about how much money we have. And you wouldn't believe how much money we have. It has nothing to do with Ted, because back before the NFL signed its huge TV deals, we literally were going hat in hand to league meetings because we had no fucking money, because our only income is this football team. But all of a sudden, money just pours out of the ceiling at us. You wouldn't believe it.
Right.
Ted's doing a great job. I mean, that's the big thing. I heard a lot of people today, well, if the McCaskey sell the team, well, when Virginia dies, they're going to sell the team. They're not going to sell the team.
No, no,
there
not
was
anymore.
A time they were absolutely going to sell the team because all the money, there was no money. The team was worth a lot of money, but they didn't have any cash on hand. And then Paul Tagliabue and then Roger Goodell after him fucked everything up for us by bringing billions of dollars out of TV companies, and now every NFL team has piles of cash, including the McCaskies, and they're never going to give that up. It's the golden goose. They can't fuck it up, as is evidenced by the fact they continue to try to fuck it up, and they can't.
Right.
We're stuck with them forever. We're honestly stuck with them longer than we are the Ricketts. And we're stuck with them for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a battle, yeah.
Pat Finley?
Hi, George.
Giant baby, Pat Finley.
A year ago, you sat up here and said that you would look for progress. How did you measure it? Did it go beyond wins and losses? And did you lean on a consultant or any outside voices over the last month or two or three?
I leaned on two consultants, Jack Daniels and Jim Beam.
We've talked to a number of people throughout pro football world.
Or Pro Football Weekly.
Bill to help us with evaluating our general manager and head coach and helping us make a decision.
Again, do we need an outside advice to tell if we that this is not working?
A replacement situation to help us in our search to find the replacement.
We talked to Bill Polian. He said, you know, George, your team sucks.
And can you tell us about the other people you leaned on? It started at some point during the season. I can't recall.
Yeah, I blacked out exactly from all the Jim Beam and Jake Dance.
As far as our conversations with other people in football, we consider those conversations to be private. And
we know who it was. It's the only people you know. It was the Maras and the Rooneys. The
substance of those right. conversations.
So the Rooneys get it right.
George, just a... make sure you.
Well, the ironic thing is, so the Rooneys are the opposite of the Halas McCaskies. The Rooneys, before the old man gave up running the team, were terrible. Art was a dope. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the kids knew how to run a football team. They started winning. It was the opposite with the Bears, which as soon as George died, we were screwed.
Right.
You did say that Ted will be helping in the search for the M&A.
Why?
Did you really say that, George? That's correct.
So obviously the GM going forward reporting to you is slightly different. With that change, why do you still have Ted involved in finding the GM?
Good question.
Because I trust Ted implicitly.
Oh.
Because I have great respect for his judgment.
No.
Analytical skills.
What?
His instincts when it comes to the people that we're interviewing. What? And in the end, he'll be negotiating the contract with the general manager and the head coach.
Yeah, I guess I did hear that. I blacked out. He basically fell short of just saying, you know, Ted can make a bong out of anything. He's a guy you can trust. Ted's your friend. Ted's your buddy.
Ted's your buddy. Ted's the guy when you call when you're drunk and can't get home. Ted's the guy who calls you to lift to the airport.
Yeah. Ted has pictures of me and Lederhosen. I'm just going to stop right there. Let's just say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Ted, there are reasons why I defer to Ted on all serious reasons. How come he didn't go into stuff like, obviously, Ted is, we've had unparalleled success under Ted's right. leadership, and all of his decisions have worked out great. And how could Ted's you possibly record. Question the man who helped me hire Phil Emery and Mark Trestman and Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and John Fox? Why mess with such a tried and true structure that we have? I can't believe you're questioning me.
Yeah, with all of Ted's, you know, the only reason we're here is because all of Ted's hires just go directly to Canton. So it's just one.
That's where we met. Honestly, that's how we ran into Bill Polian. We were driving Ted's hires to get to pose for their busts, and we ran into Bill, and we said, "Hey, Bill, you want to help us hire a new coach?" And he's like, "I got a book to sell. Why not?"
Sure. Have you read my book, George? All right. Can't wait to read it.
Kevin Fishbane.
George, having gone through these interviews a few times, what have you learned?
Veteran the coaching interview process.
In the interviews, it's going to be different. Different things you're looking for, different qualities you're looking for as you meet with these prospective GMs and head coaches that maybe you might not have looked for.
Are you going to hand a newspaper and go, what can you make out of this? I can make a hat. I can make a brooch. I can make a pterodactyl.
For leaders, both in the general manager and the head coach. In our conversations with Bill Polian. In fact, he just wrote a book.
There it is.
Super Bowl Blueprints. where he talks about what it takes to get to and win the Super Bowl. And he said he was even
click on my Amazon link. I am an associate. And
how much do you want to bet?
Every link of the book you buy.
How much you want to bet George found Bill Polian and Super Bowl blueprints while Googling Super Bowl bloopers? Mom, look at these. They're hilarious.
This is great.
We didn't see the Garo Yupremian one. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. Wait a minute. What's this? Oh, here's a guy who wrote a book about how to win a Super Bowl. Maybe we should. Maybe we should. Well, I'd buy it, but I wonder if the library has it.
Yeah.
Why spend $24.95 when you get it for free?
Yeah, our tax dollars have to pay for something. Not buying the damn book.
Oh, God. As soon as he brought up the book, it's like, oh,
it was the book.
That's why I tweeted. I have a feeling Bill doesn't know he's on the search committee. He just thinks he's on George's. I'm going on the search committee podcast with this guy named George McCaskey to promote the book. Wait a minute. What? Ah, shit. They're paying, though, right? All right. May I guess? Well, we'll give that a shot. Why not? Jim Caldwell needs a job.
Yeah, right.
Great teams have coaches that the players respect. They don't have to like them. They don't have to love them.
What is he talking about? Is this in the book? So this is like 818 in the book.
They don't have to like them. They don't have to love them. They don't have to like the way they smell. Coach. Yeah. They don't have to like the way they make pasta. They just have to respect them.
Yeah, which they didn't.
Okay. Hi, George.
Big Z. Gets the nickname.
Good enough because that leads you down the road to get to today's actions. You have a new stadium initiative going. How do you handle two parallel projects that seem like both would be full-time initiatives?
Don't you think Biggs's question was basically trying to convince George? And can you leave Ted out of this? He's busy.
And hiring outside vendors to help us with our exploration.
Vendors. We got a guy who's going to sell hot dogs and tell us who the new GM should be.
We got a solo cup guy.
You ever had one of those? Ever had a Smoky Link at Wrigley? Have you? We got that guy. We got the Smoky Link guy.
We're speaking to beer purveyors. That's how it is. Probably Jason's question.
Hey, George, do you believe the Bears would be better off if you had made these changes a year ago?
Like I said, at the time, we thought the continuity was the best route forward.
Yep. See, he didn't say collaboration. That was scrub. They scrubbed that word.
Both Ryan and Matt deserved another opportunity.
Based on what?
Being to the playoffs 2 out of 3 seasons.
Oh, here we go.
Above 500 record. From a coaching standpoint, mm-hmm. we felt that they deserve
still has that, doesn't he?
Based on the body of work, bring him back. Both of them.
Yeah,
another opportunity.
Watch the search; we'll just end up with them rehiring. we found our guy.
Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to head.
He already owns a bunch of sweatshirts.
George,
with
based
Bears
on the optimism you had at this time last year, what was the most frustrating part of this past season for you?
Oh, just having to watch this shit.
The product on the field.
Well, there were a lot of frustrating parts.
Got that right. Okay.
Another lengthy losing streak. Mm-hmm. We had one in 2019, one in 2020.
Yeah, you know why you have lengthy losing streaks? Because you have bad football teams. That's why they lose.
Season enders. I admired the way our guys stuck together, didn't point fingers. But at some point,
they stuck together so well. We're considering. Think about this, guys. And I don't know a lot about football, but what about at left tackle, conjoined twins?
Yeah.
Who's going to get around those guys? And I'm pretty sure they count as one player.
Hey, George.
They sure do from a payroll standpoint.
That, you think this model with you at the top works. I'm curious.
Why would you think that?
This model works. I mean,
that's exactly what Potash
has. Winning seasons and no playoff wins in your 11 seasons. Isn't there merit to the argument that somebody else should be heading this search and that the GM should be reporting to a Bill Polian type only? I mean, do you get it that a lot of Bears are unhappy with your record?
Do you
as well?
Get it? I don't get it.
We get that a lot of Bears fans are unhappy, and we're unhappy too, and we're frustrated. And we understand,
but
we find out if mom was pissed this time.
That's coming up
about the situation. Okay, and it may even be that once the candidates are introduced, There will be people who say, oh, you picked the wrong guy.
A lot of confidence in that. Wow. You're going to be like, who the fuck did you hire this guy for?
Oh, God.
This guy here is dead.
Field, and that won't be for some time to come.
Scratch him off.
We think in time, it'll be shown that we've chosen.
You think the by right 2047.
But George, I'm referring to your record.
George,
as,
answer the
as
question.
The chairman. Yeah. How are you accountable for the record that you have? Like you said, it's a bottom line business, wins and losses.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, no playoff wins, two winning seasons. You know, that's not a great record. So how are you accountable for it? And like I said, does that lend merit to the idea that somebody else should be, you know, like a Bill Polian type should be at the top?
Yeah, my performance is reviewed by ownership and the board of directors, and
mommy says I'm doing fine.
Wishes me to continue in this role.
Mark. Take it up with mommy.
Herb Howard. Yeah.
George, is it your preference that the next general manager comes in with the plan of kind of reloading some of the assets that you already have, or do you prefer them to view this as a complete rebuild where guys like perhaps a Khalil Mack could be leveraged for future assets? Do you have a preference whether they view this as a rebuild or a reload completely?
Whatever costs less.
Thanks, Herb. We're right. Looking forward to hearing what the candidate's plans are for getting the Bears.
Oh, you're going to ask him that question at least? Well, that's a positive sign. What are your plans?
We'll
we can't ask
that. To present the details to us. We don't have.
Are you saying we're allowed to ask the candidates about their approach?
Chris Emma?
Oh, this changes everything.
George, given the way that the losses piled up this season and the fact that you have a rookie quarterback and young players, what kept you from dismissing Matt Nagy sooner?
We were evaluating throughout the season.
He was just doing such a darn good job.
We didn't have any preconceived notions about a particular timeline or a particular timetable. Our evaluation was concluded last night and resulted in the decisions that we announced this morning.
Thanks for the non-answer.
Sean Hammond.
Hi, George. We haven't gotten to speak with you since the Arlington Heights news broke. I'm just curious, you know, who's in charge of that project for you guys? And I guess what exactly does, what has to happen next and what does that timeline look like?
Ted Phillips is in charge of that project. And I think the best way to explain it is anybody who's bought a house,
love this.
A lot to build a house, the time between
it's just like it's just
property
like a,
is under contract.
Sean, just think of it. It's just closing. A huge house. And that's all it really is. It's just a big house.
There are a number of things
it's like,
need to be
have
done
you seen those Baker Mayfield commercials? It's like stadium is like that.
House just, or lot.
Wednesday is garbage.
A lot.
And you just have to drag all the dumpsters
whether it's a buildable lot and so forth. A lot of
it's just think of it
to be
as
out.
A big house
a property of this
that
size,
you invite 75,000 people over to watch football
time
in the living
contract
room.
And closing,
and you charge a lot of money to do it.
There's a lot of due diligence that needs to be performed before we can close.
Okay, I think we knew all of that.
Yeah, leave it to the Pro Football Weekly guys
Hello,
to
George.
Ask that question at the press conference.
Hello. Was it your decision or at least urging to have Justin Fields take over as the starting quarterback with the Bears when he did this year?
No.
But Hub said
what
did
you
did.
Think of the plan this year that Matt Nagy had? Were you all for the idea, the blueprint of Andy Dalton potentially being the quarterback the
well,
whole year?
Speaking of blueprint, there's a book called
I went out of my way to emphasize
I don't know.
To Matt.
I don't know, Mark, if you read Super Bowl Blueprint
no interest
by Bill
Polian, whatsoever in determining which
there's a whole chapter on this,
especially at the quarterback position, and that it's entirely a coaching.
What
position.
He says is you should draft Peyton Manning.
On.
And that's what we're going to do.
That's a good plan.
Sort of going back to Mark Hodge's question a little bit. You know, I assume a lot of Bears fans out there are not going to be all that pleased that Ted Phillips is still involved in this process, considering the lack of success you guys have had with this structure over the years.
Uh-huh.
Why did you feel the need to not consider maybe changing this structure going forward?
We did talk about what was the best path forward.
We talked about firing Ted, but Ted told me I can't.
Magical
so I did.
So-called
is Ted under the desk? Is that where
point,
his...
But- By the way,
nobody introduced the term football czar. George just did. There's nothing. He's just referring to his notes. Say football czar.
I understand you just asked about whether we should have a football czar. No, I didn't. Yes, you did.
Right structure for the Bears going forward.
Mother has fond memories of the czars. She used to go to dances at the castle.
Guys, George, I know you made it clear that you're making the final decision. This is your decision. I think we all understand that. Sounds like Bill Polian has a lot of power in this decision. You know, he's been out of the league. He got fired from the Colts 10 years ago. I know he's still been involved in TV and other things, consulting stuff.
He's been writing a book, apparently.
Why do you need someone like Bill Polian
to kind of
guide you here? Because you've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
Well, John, clearly I don't know shit. Have you seen our team?
It would be a fair criticism if somebody said, I'm going to make this decision all by myself and I'm not going to get any input from anybody else. People would be wondering where this guy is coming from.
Well, we wonder that anyway.
Available
to us. And we're going to take full advantage of that resource.
Of course. Talk to everybody in the building if you want. Why do you need a guy to drive the bus for you?
After we interview each.
John, the answer to that question is right here on page 37 of Super Bowl Blueprint by Bill Polian. Allow me to read to you.
Top of the game he is,
and there's a lot of money to be made. There's a sucker born every minute. There's a lot of money to be made in coach hiring consulting.
By the way, John, I recommend the audiobook, too. It's outstanding. I think you will really enjoy it.
Our injury situation with particular players. He was very much up on the game in general and the Bears situation.
He's fairly lucid. In good hands. I mean, when you talk to him, you'd never know
to help us
that he's not wearing pants.
I only have to raise my voice once or twice a call.
When, can hear me. George, when Bill is really interested in my questions, he takes the horn and sticks it in his ear and leans in and goes,
Justin Fields. What was that, George? And then the next part of that, would you like to see him get involved when this reaches maybe the coaching search process? Would you like him to get to know some of these guys before you make that final decision?
Well, I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
There it is.
And as a fan,
I'm just a fan.
Dynamic player with a lot of potential.
So you don't get paid
to be the
director or the chairman of the board or whatever? Because you're just a fan.
We're looking for a general manager. And
I'm a fan. I don't make billions of dollars from the team.
Not just the quarterback position, but the talent around him and establishing a strong defense to help the quarterback.
Yeah, we get it.
Bring the Bears to success.
That's not the question. The question is, are you going to seek input from your franchise quarterback?
But we'll be very
interested. We need to build a strong defense.
General manager and head coach candidates, what their plan is to get the most out of the quarterback position for us.
Yeah, we're not going to be consulting with our quarterback. We are, however, going to ask Patrick Scales, the long snapper.
This decision almost simultaneously as players were talking to the media. Was it always the plan to have the players talk before the decision makers about this? And do you think that was the appropriate way to handle it?
We don't have a plan about media ever.
Sorry, Cam, I don't understand your question.
Of course you don't.
Players?
Right, like the players were telling us that they had heard about this news, you know, on Twitter, and you know,
do you
think that it was appropriate that they speak on the firings before you two did?
Is that like Tinder?
Oh well, in this day and age, you can't stop things from getting out on social media.
I helped mom make her profile. It was a little creepy, but I did it anyway.
Matt and Ryan of our decisions, that the likelihood is that it would get out on social media before we put out a statement, but.
You know how you could have avoided that?
These days, there's not a lot
you could have issued the statement immediately after you told the guys.
Yes, you could have done that. Right.
Matt said he wanted to call Adam Schefter.
Going forward, when it comes to the decision of whether to retain the GM or the coach, will Ted have any involvement in that?
I expect that Ted's advice and counsel will be drawn on just as it does for.
So there's nothing different.
No.
As I said, ultimately, the general manager will report to the chairman, and the decision
and on
the hiring.
I now report to
ultimately
Ted.
Ultimately, is mine.
I'm reporting to Ted.
Yeah, hi George.
Do I have to draw
Bill
you guys
Polian
a
and,
chart?
You know, the years that you've had, you mentioned yourself. Was there ever, or is there ever a concern or a thought given to possibly having a younger group?
Yes, excellent
consort,
question.
So, looking into a GM and head coach because. like it's not, of course, effort. To, you know, shade your age, but the game has changed since the last time Bill Polian was really active in the league in 10 years ago.
By the way, has Bill Polian and has someone who's 40? Right. Why can't you do that?
Group of people who have been in the league as his modern.
So you get a wider perspective.
Well, I appreciate the spirit of the question, Joseph. yes, we're.
But I'm not going to answer it.
We're not exactly spring chickens. But Bill's been out around the game for a long time.
Yeah, we know.
He knows the
so
game
have you.
Very well. Okay. And I recall George Halas was in his 80s when he
died.
Made a then very controversial but ultimately successful selection for a head coach. And
George George Halas invented the game. You're comparing anybody to George Halas?
I know, I'm named after him.
Yeah, hi, George. This is for you and Ted if he wants to chime in.
There we go.
One of my
there he is, finally.
On this call wrote an extensive piece analyzing the team over the last couple of years. And one of the core tenets was the dismay that a lot of former players who all have extensive contacts really weren't involved or haven't been consulted. And how come, since you mentioned who your committee is, how come you don't have any former players on that committee?
Fine question.
Well, I would welcome Ted's comments. I'll just say that we love it.
We're afraid of the players.
Our like former players literally, feel physically. So strongly about wanting the Bears to be successful. A lot of them are season ticket holders. what? We welcome their input.
Wait, what?
I would say
we enjoy our players. We can sell them season tickets.
Yeah, probably, right. We don't give them any tickets. God knows.
We
probably should.
Of players who are former players who are on media outlets. I don't want to have to put them in the position of deciding what is a confidential conversation and what is okay to share with.
A, I think they can handle that. B, who said you have to limit it to that group?
B, it means Tom Thayer.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, that's what it means.
To continuing to do that.
Next question, Dan Weider.
George, how and when did the union with Bill Polian come together for you?
The union.
The union.
Like I said, I don't recall the exact timing. It was
well, that's funny. Bill actually fought for the union.
During this past season.
And then moments ago, you made the admission. You said, I'm a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
Uh-huh.
With that admission made, how can you perform
a unfrozen caveman
of your general manager board through chair. Those sets of lenses?
I don't understand your modern ways.
Well, again,
I'm just a
this
simple
is a results
football
oriented
fan.
Business, so it would be largely wins and losses.
Yeah.
Again,
the playoffs,
the only metric he understands, despite the fact
the
he kept Nagy employed after he kept winning fewer games every year.
Well, despite Ted Phillips' win-loss record, yeah. How's that record?
George, have the Bears ruled out playing downtown?
Competence? Oh, no.
What?
At a new stadium?
Yes. They have. Where are
and
you going to put
exploration
it?
Exploration of the Arlington Heights project was determined.
Are we back to the floating stadium idea?
By the seller. This was just a piece of property.
Here, I like this. We totally
sale.
Lucked into Arlington
we
Heights.
Contacted by
we had no planning. It just fell in our lap.
And we saw this.
I got lost trying to go to Portillo's, and I wandered onto this big 200-acre lot of land, and I bought it.
Well, it smells like horses.
Meantime, we're happy to engage with the city of Chicago and the
this smells like a different kind of
about,
shit.
present operations
like
at Soldier Field.
What was the last time that happened, that engagement?
During the season?
I don't remember. I think it was a few weeks ago.
Well, so you do remember. It was a few weeks ago.
I don't remember. I don't remember. It was Thursday.
You need a date.
David, you're muted.
Oh, David.
There it is. Is it Huff?
It's Huff.
About that? Hello, George.
Of course it is. So
that was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah. Zinger!
I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Zinging back.
Oh, hi, George. That's it. All right, fuck you, buddy.
Who is with you?
Who's next?
And how do you envision asking these questions of guys who have experience, who maybe have won championships, and that whole process, how would you describe the way it will go?
I didn't.
People
what?
In the room are myself, Ted, Bill, Soup, and Tanisha.
As I've said 15 times already,
a candid and free flowing conversation.
Get in a room and have some soup.
Bill said that when he interviewed Tony
what was
Dungy,
the question?
Wasn't it? I like soup. 12 minutes. I prefer Tony tomato. Tomato basil. If I'm being honest.
Proceeded to talk football. It was good with the grilled cheese. No, hours.
What?
So we're looking forward to in-depth conversations like that.
Well, quick, like an interview.
Did you talk to Tony Dungy and seek his counsel when you moved in this direction?
Anybody else that we may have conferred with in the football world?
Sorry, yes.
We're keeping those conversations confidential.
Why can't you say, yeah, we talked to Tony? We talked to a lot of guys. Well, why? What's the confidential?
Question for Ted. Obviously,
Tony asked him not to tell. Oh, there's Ted.
Your reputation over the past few seasons in town, and you know, whether it's.
Ted just keeps that Hyundai backdrop in his office at all times.
Did you consider bowing out of the coach and GM search? Obviously, I know that there's a change, but did you consider not taking part in it and letting George and Bill and Soup and Tanisha take it from there?
Hi, Kevin. I would say to you that
they're so chummy.
I think the group that we have has different viewpoints, different ways of looking at leadership, different ways of looking at the skill sets of the different
any
candidates.
Group of five so people think, has these things.
I'm looking forward to it. And my 38 years at the Bears.
Oh, I'm going to drop a little experience on you.
And act like I don't know exactly. 38.
I've learned a lot.
Years, big involved days, in 11,
6 hours.
Big involved in a lot of these searches. Why so many, Ted?
Question I asked George
We've
earlier,
pretty much already hired every coach there is. At some point, we'll get it right.
Treat this differently in interviews than you have in the past. Because again, you look at the results of the past hires have not gone the way you guys were hoping. So what's going to be different for you and your perspective when you're talking to these prospective GMs and head coaches?
Probably nothing.
Well, I would say this, that.
Oh, here you go. Here you go. It's my favorite.
The hiring of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I don't regret that.
Why not?
They both brought up. I don't regret it. Like they're nice boys.
You're immediately disqualified from the committee, Ted. Yep. How can you not regret that?
I think they've checked a lot of the boxes.
Except the win box.
You can't ask for better leaders. You can't ask for better forward thinkers. Gave their all. Had great work ethic. Were humble. And we're going to look for a lot of those same qualities, and hopefully with
We're absolutely doomed.
Vast expertise in the technicalities of coaching.
I wish somebody would ask, Ted, what do you hope to get out of Bill that you didn't get out of Ernie, of course? Nice added What's the difference? Find the right people.
Adam Hogue?
George, I guess coming off of actually what Ted just said, I mean, all due respect, at this point, I think the fans just care about winning football games. What you're describing in this process, I have to be honest, sounds a lot like 2015.
When yes,
you
it does.
And Ted, you guys hired Ernie Accorsi to come in to help you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 7 years later. So why should Bears fans trust at this time, regardless of the people you guys hire and their individual qualities, that it's going to result in wins on the field?
Now, wouldn't you say, hey, we have to earn our trust?
Thing, and
we know we fell short of the mark. You know, we have to earn our trust. We've done a bad job. We admit that. We own it. Why not say something like that?
Oh, isn't that what he says?
Some today, or like I said, perhaps even the day that our next general manager and head coach are introduced. We've got to have results.
You're going to hate this guy. I'm telling you, you guys are going to hate our hire. Wait till you hear it.
That's when
we got a guy in mind you are going to loathe.
Bill Polian talks in his books about decisions he made as a general manager that were considered wildly unpopular at the time.
And still are to this day.
But eventually, they bore fruit. And you have to be ready and willing to make
a plant.
What may very well be an unpopular decision.
Again, an unpopular decision. Here we go.
It's best for the Bears.
All right. I think I've had enough of the press conference. George, God bless him.
Well, now the only thing we're not going to hear is the whole, you know, when he rips into Olin Krute.
Yeah, I heard that.
Also insane.
Said something about take whatever Olin says with a grain of salt.
ridiculous. Why is he insulting Olin Cruz? And then Olin's response was phenomenal. It was outstanding.
Why would he even bring up two things he could have easily steered away from? The Cary Grove students and Olin Cruz.
Well, somebody asked him about, did you really offer $15 an hour?
Yeah, all you have to say is, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Said, I don't know. Yeah, right. You think I'm hiring the goddamn assistant offensive line coach? Ask Ted. Ted?
And then
just throw him under the bus. Okay, so before we wrap this up, the problem I have with Bill Polian, other than the fact that he hasn't hired a football coach for two decades, is the fact that he is a he's kind of a red ass, which is fine, except for the fact that some of the top candidates in the search this year are going to be guys like, unexpectedly, Brian Flores, Josh McDaniels, who are former Patriots. Bill Polian, if you know anything about the wars they used to have with the Colts with the Patriots, and that every year he would run to the competition committee and try to outlaw anything that the Patriots did, plus the fact that McDaniels screwed over his beloved Colts.
Oh, right. That's how Frank Reich got the job.
Right. By taking the job and then changing his mind. Right. They're just, the Bears just aren't going to consider them.
Right.
So you already are starting a skewed search.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't find a good candidate outside of that, but you shouldn't have somebody on there who clearly is just going to be like, fuck this guy. We're not talking to him.
Yeah, right.
Which is exactly what we're going to get out of Bill Polian. So apparently that was at 1 o'clock. So I'm sure they've already talked to a few. I actually did see that they've asked permission from, I don't know who you have to ask permission to interview, Leslie Frazier, but they've asked to interview Leslie.
Right.
I just don't hire Leslie. I would guess Jim Caldwell surges to the front of the line of consideration, a former Colts assistant and head coach. If it was 10 years ago, I would be I would never be enthusiastic about coach. I'm waiting for a bus, Jim Caldwell, but you know, he had success with the Detroit that no one has had since he left. So clearly and I guess the biggest thing is in both of these cases, the Bears should be in a position where they're hiring somebody who's already done this.
Yes.
Like, you don't need to go hire another novice head coach. Although, I will take the stance that, because people were talking about, you know, the guys like Nathaniel Hackett who at Green Bay and Brian Daboll from the Bills. And like, well, you can't hire them now because Matt Nagy didn't work out. Look, it's not their fault that the Bears hired a so-called offensive genius whose offense didn't work.
Yeah.
If their offense works, it'll work. So you don't just disqualify them because the last guy you hired was a dope.
Right.
Because if you did that, you wouldn't hire anybody with experience because John Fox had experience and he was a dope.
Well, like, that's the thing. There is no tried and true formula. We've talked about this before. You can hire an assistant coach who turns out to be terrible or turns out to be great. And you could have a former head coach that you think, oh, this guy's going to be really good, and he's not. That's why you need, to me, I mean, they kept talking about Bill Polian and all of his connections around the league. Is it hard to get guys on the phone? No. When you're the Chicago Bears, there's not anybody you can't contact. Have someone who's, you know, 40 or so, have someone much younger who really, you know, has hopefully some sort of insight as to what will make a guy not just a successful NFL head coach, but a successful NFL head coach in Chicago. That's a different sort of thing, right? I mean, think has to be successful head coach is another place, but here in Chicago, it's a unique set of characteristics you got to find.
Yeah, I mean, there's only 32 jobs for coaches. There's only 32 general manager jobs. These jobs are in demand. Yes. The Bears should be able to and it's the Bears. It is a bigger deal because it's a major market.
Right.
Honestly, if you're the GM, you should be all excited if the Bears contact you, considering Pace got 7 years. Got paid for 7 years to do what he just did.
Yeah.
You know, the ownership, they don't know what they're doing, so they're very easy to just, you know, oh, you know, George, this is why this is a great idea. Oh, okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It is funny that they did the exact things we wanted them to do. Right. And within a couple of hours, we're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And I'm still glad they did it. I would have. I can't imagine it being, you know, late in this day and that both those stooges still being employed. But she just wanted – it wouldn't have been that hard. How hard – how high was the bar for George's press conference?
Oh, God.
To get through that without every fan going, ah, oh, they're just going to fuck it up again.
Right.
It was, I mean, that shows how unsavvy he is that he couldn't even bullshit us because they could have kept that press conference for like 20 minutes, kept it nice and tight. Yeah. Have him come out and say, look, we know we didn't win enough games. The process we did was flawed. We're changing it. We're going to take a different approach to hiring a coach and a general manager this time. Ted, you know, they even had the news in there, but then they couldn't stick to it, which was Ted's role is changing. He's only going to be worried about the business side in Arlington Heights. This new coach is the new general manager is going to report to me, but he's going to be the ultimate say on football, and we're going to hire the best person we can, and we're going to if a great coaching candidate comes up before we get the GM hired, we're not going to let that pass. We're going to jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Yeah. Hub, just have Hub ask you a question because you know he's not going to push you. And then you wrap it up and get the fuck out of there. And he couldn't do it. He had to sit there and go, well, no, they're going to report to me. But when I need to know what's going on, I'll just ask Ted.
It pretty much is how it ended. I mean, it started off with he was bitching about high school students yelling at a football game. And he ended up insulting a Chicago Bears legend. Yeah. Pro bowler, smart guy, tough guy, represents everything you love about the Bears. That's how you start and end this press conference?
So what were the takeaways from the press conference today, George? What did you really nail? Well, I nailed high school kids are mean.
Yeah.
Bill Polian wrote a book.
Right.
Ted's not going to be in charge of football, but I'm still going to ask him all the football questions.
Right.
And Olin Cruz is a liar.
Right. That's what he nailed today. Yeah.
We're going to let Soup help hire the coach.
Right.
I think I hit all the big points. And now you did, George. Great job. Thank you. All right. Great. Won that and won another press conference.
I know. I think we all had such high hopes.
Yeah. It's funny. We didn't. We had low expectations and he still couldn't get to them.
Yes, you're right. But we had high hopes. This morning, when I found out that Pace and Nagy are gone and that George is holding a press conference
without Ted,
no mention of Ted being there. We're like, oh my God, maybe they got it.
Yep.
No, not at all. We're just going to do the exact same thing we did 7 years ago. And then, which is a repeat of the exact same thing we did years before that. And it hasn't been working since we took over and hired Dave Wentz, as you pointed out.
And you could have sold me on the Bill Polian thing too. As long as Ted wasn't part of the search committee, and honestly, there just should have been a second outside person.
Minimum.
Preferably somebody who, doesn't eat pudding and go to bed at 4 o'clock.
Right. Yeah.
And then I could go out there and said, all right, good. They've changed their, at least they're changing their approach.
Why not a couple get of
the guys
Riddick,
hammered on it.
Why not get Louis Riddick on there, a guy like that?
Yeah.
To join Bill Polian on this.
Unless committee. He's going to be a candidate for the job, which would be
even better. I mean, yeah, we search far and wide, and I'm the best candidate.
Right. We consulted with Lewis, and Lewis has said we should hire Lewis. So we're gonna do it.
Okay, fine.
It's just they can't. It's not out of them being clever. They're obstinate. They're an obstinate bunch, and they're just convinced. That they think that they're not going to change anything. They're just every few years, they're going to let the media and the fans yell at them. Mm-hmm. And then they're just going to do it the same way they always did it. And they're just going to sit there and hope miraculously that this time it works. And they're just going to repeat that over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until they die and we die and the earth cools and the Bears will still have one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just can't get over the image. And I don't know if it's true, but I just, as soon as this call was over, I just imagine them turning to everybody in the room. How was that?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. There's no Fantastic. Way. There's Great no job. Way the sycophants in the front office weren't. Yeah. Way to go, boss. You got him again. Woo. Man, you're good at this. We should have a press conference every week.
But then, an hour after that, and he starts, hearing about, all of the negative reactions they're getting, does he not like, guys, I thought we, you, I thought you said I nailed this. I'm, they're killing me here. or did, I don't know. I believe they must hear some of it, because I do think that, you know, we, the fans, can take credit for getting Pace to go along with Nagy. Cause yeah. that probably was not a foregone conclusion. And I think they had enough, they had enough sense to realize we cannot do this to our fans. They just won't stick with us. They won't accept that, but they didn't have enough to go, oh, well, we're going to get Ted out of the operation and we're going to, you know, have another 8-year-old guy help us out. They couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did he get a question before the end of it about, okay, what was the, when did you finally decide that Ryan had to go to? I don't think so. I don't think he did. I mean, the idea was, well, wins and losses are what determined that Ryan and Matt got fired.
Yeah, I think the line was we made our decision last night and informed them this morning.
One of the things that was pretty clear in Nagy's rambling press conference yesterday was he kept attaching himself to Pace.
No, I saw that.
He was the drowning person at the beach who is bound and determined that the lifeguard is going to drown too.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Well, you know, when Ryan and I, we did this on Ryan and I. Well, Ryan was lockstep in this, and Ryan was this, and Ryan's got to be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, he totally tied himself to him.
And he was doing it on purpose. He was like, all right, clearly, I'm not the only one you're going to fire.
Right. I'm not taking.
And if you keep Ryan, I'm really gonna get the fan base riled up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because we talked about it. At the end of the day, Matt Nagy was a self-preservationist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the whole thing about, you know, giving up the play calling supposedly, but did he really give up the play calling? Because he knew it would get some of the heat off of him. And then, I mean, we saw it all in the game on Sunday when the big fuck you to the fans and everybody with the fourth down passes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that wasn't an accident that they threw on all those.
Of course not.
He was going to show his way was going to work. And if it didn't, tough shit, I'm fired anyway.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole idea that, well, he's such a good guy, but, you know, it's too bad he's not a better coach. It's like, well, I mean, he's a better guy probably than most football coaches, but he's still a football coach. And he's still going to be a dick. That's how they get that far.
Well, just the whole premise that the Hub's first question, George, this is a really tough day for you. Like, are you okay?
Are you okay?
He's fine.
Do you need a moment? Are you going to be all right?
What? Whatever.
I'll leave it to Hub. And it's funny, too, that they give him the first question like he's Helen Thomas. At a White House press briefing.
Right.
Even when she was just like this lump of flesh in a chair, they'd have to like, Helen?
And I don't think Helen Thomas ever had to say, you know, Mr. President, you answered my first four or five questions.
That's right.
Me.
Wow. That was a great opening statement. You know what? I don't need to ask. You pretty much answered all the questions about the Iranians and the Contras.
Yeah.
So I think we're done here. All right, everybody. Are we good? All right, let's go. Well, so there you have it.
There it is.
George McCaskey, unplugged. Let's hope we don't have another one of these a year from now. Because really, shouldn't a normal functioning franchise, the end of the year press conference is just the coach and the GM talking about, you know, well, we're kind of disappointed that we only won 12 games and we lost in the... We lost in the second round of the playoffs, and we only have 8 Pro Bowlers instead of the constant crisis that the Bears are under after every season, which is, we're just here to tell you we're not firing everybody this time.
Yeah, if it's going to work, we're going to collaborate. Well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Bear fan looking for hope, you know, there is the chance that I guess there's. If you're, I'll leave you with this. If you're looking for, that'd be Sunshine Andy here for a second.
Nice.
These are both really good jobs for the same reason, and they're good jobs for the same reason in that, hey, there's not as much talent as Ryan Pace would have led you to believe. The young players, there's not as many good ones as he kept claiming, but there are some good players on this team, which is a nice start, and you have a quarterback who you ought to be able to win with.
Right.
But in reality, the reason these are good jobs is because of the shit we just saw. George doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
You and your general manager, or you and your coach, depending on which job you guys get to run this basically without interference because right. he doesn't know what to do. It's just not, you know, Jerry Jones meddling in everything and making himself the general manager and picking the players for you and telling you who you should play. They're really not going to do any of that, which they proved when they basically debunked Hub's report about Justin Fields and George ordering him to be a starter.
Right.
There's not a lot of teams that you can go to where you can have this much say in everything.
I agree. The only worry
that becomes a real problem when you don't hire good people. Then you end up with idiots who have way too much slack, and then you're never going to win with that. That's the issue.
Well, the only thing that I'd be worried about then is Ted. So I'll tell you what I'm looking for. Whoever gets this job, if they announce him as the president of football operations, in other words, if during the negotiations this candidate makes clear, I'm not going to be a GM.
Yeah.
You're not going to stick me with a GM while there's Mr. President over there, you know, in Arlington Heights. Make me a president. If they do that, I'll have a lot of confidence in the person they hire.
Well, what they really ought to say is, you do need a GM. But yeah, after you hire me, I'm going to be the president. I'm going to hire the GM because your front office is not, we don't have enough people in this front office to run a 21st century football team.
Absolutely. Right. And
I think part of Pace's problem was that while he did apparently push for some changes to the scouting department and whatever, he didn't really want a lot of people in his front office because he didn't want people questioning what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he, at the very end of the day, he was very insecure about how well he was doing his job. And there was a reason why he wanted to keep, it was the same reason the Cub front office used to be so small. The GMs would come in there and they'd be like, well, shit, I don't want to, A, if I ask for more people, then we're really going to need to win because otherwise I upped the payroll for this part of the team and I'm not gonna be able to answer for it. And B, what if I get a bunch of guys who realize I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and they tell my bosses and I'm screwed.
Yeah. Right.
So you need somebody confident enough, like Theo was when he came in, who looked at it and said, honestly, we should have four times as many people working in this office as we have.
Right.
I mean, the Cubs had to go rent a freaking office building while they built new offices because they didn't have room for everybody. Because Theo's like, we don't have enough people. We're going to hire a whole shitload of people.
Right.
And they did. Of course, now they all sit around and look at the pitch lab numbers and, you know, stroke each other. They haven't developed a pitcher in 10 years. We still have to hire good people. You can't just hire people.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess next we will convene when they hire somebody.
Yes, we will. Will it be a GM or a coach? We'll find out.
Do you have a prediction of what you don't have to say who, but what job gets filled first?
I'm going to go with GM, and I'm going to go with that they're not going to wrangle themselves a president title.
Okay. I agree. I think they'll end up, even though they're open to hiring a coach first, I have a feeling they'll go the more conventional route. They'll hire the GM, the GM will hire a coach.
That's what I think. Yeah.
All right.
We'll see. All righty.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, Andy. Until next time.
All right.
All right.
Many of us have herpes.